The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. I am your host, Dr. Carol Smith, Commissioner of Health for Ulster County. With me today is my co-host, Ben Martello, our Director of Community Health Relations. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Dr. Smith. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Dr. Smith, today we're going to be talking about what you need to know as a consumer about coping with escalating utility and energy costs. And as we know, the picture has changed in terms of energy costs dramatically over the last few months for a lot of different reasons, the war in Ukraine and others, and then, you know, with winter coming along and then the changes with Central Hudson. So we have two really great guests who can really shed a lot of light on the subject, and they are Ian Donaldson. Ian is Communications and Policy Aide for the Public Utility Law Project. And we also have Jess Mullen, who's Executive Director of Communities for Local Power. So welcome, Ian and Jess.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
It's great to have you. Thanks for coming in. So first of all, tell us a little bit about your organizations and what the mission is and what they do, what areas you work in. So I guess we'll start with you, Jess.
So I'm with Communities for Local Power. We were formed about 10 years ago to oppose the sale of Central Hudson to Fortis Incorporated, which is a foreign-owned mega corporation based in Canada. And this conglomerate, this beast, Fortis Inc., owns a long list of energy and utility-related companies around the world. So to give you an idea of how big they are, their revenue for 2020 was $6.67 billion, which was a 0.77%, almost a 1% increase from their earnings in 2019. And despite our group's hard work, Fortis ended up buying Central Hudson. But since then, Communities for Local Power has continued to advocate for residents, for the normal people here on the ground. We've formally fight against rate cases from Central Hudson, which means like a rate case. It's a rate increase. It's we're parties to this, you know, sort of official proceeding that decides whether or not electricity rates can be increased. And we've succeeded a few times. We've pushed for justice on the investigations into Central Hudson and accountability for them. And our group also helps local towns and businesses transition from fossil fuels to renewable energy sources. Mm-hmm. And we educate about energy efficiency in buildings and facilitate the process of getting a more energy efficient building. And then we also have a Green Jobs Pay Training Program that's going into its fourth year, where we work with local contractors to help build a clean energy workforce. And so pretty much our work affects people throughout the Central Hudson territory. So various counties and even across the state, since some of the things that we advocate for are state policies. But we also have a strong focus in the Kingston area where our office is located.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like, and we'll get to this a little bit later on in the program, but it seems to me as a consumer that we went from having one of the best utility companies in the country to one of the worst in a matter of a couple of years. But that's a long story, and we'll get more into the details. And in the meantime, Ian, fill us in on the Public Utility Law Project. What your organization does?
Yeah, I'm happy to. So we're a 40-year-old nonprofit law firm whose sole mission is to educate, advocate, and litigate on behalf of low and fixed income utility consumers. We're the only organization in the state that does this kind of work. Like Legal Aid, we offer direct services to low income customers that are having problems with their utility. We've been very involved in the Central Hudson stuff that's going on here locally, working with then County Executive Pat Ryan, and also some of the state reps like Assemblyman Cahill and Senator Hinchey. And we also do a lot of policy work and advocacy around issues like affordability, universal service, and consumer protections too.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, in terms of Central Hudson, I mean, we know that, you know, they put a new billing system in and their billing practices are really horrendous, generating tens of thousands of complaints from customers. But being a monopoly, sometimes it seems like they just, I don't know, and maybe the, I don't know how this is anecdotal, but it just seems like they could care less about what their customers are going through, or what they, you know, or what our concerns are. And I know this from even my own personal experience. So what can customers do in terms of all of the billing problems that have happened over the last year? What has been done? What are your organizations doing to help?
Sure. I'll start off. So I will say, first and foremost, there's several investigations into the billing practices of Central Hudson. One's happening at the Public Service Commission and the Department of Public Service. They're the actual regulator over all of the investor-owned utilities like Central Hudson in the state. That was triggered because County Executive Pat Ryan asked for that investigation. And basically, there's some statutory things in the law that says if an elected official, like a county executive or a mayor or something like that, if they ask for an investigation, the state is legally obligated to actually look into it. So a letter all the way back, it was right after the winter storm last year, that actually triggered that investigation. And then the state Senate, Senator Skoufis, I think he does represent a little bit of Ulster County. He's chair of the Senate Investigations Committee, and his committee is also looking into it. We don't really have a lot of updates. We just know that they're looking into it at the moment. We don't know what the timetable will be or what sort of recommendations that will come out of this, but we're hoping to see some good stuff for consumers. But in terms of what people can do now, like what we're telling everybody is, like, if you think there's a problem with your Central Hudson bill, number one, file a complaint with the Department of Public Service. This is something that you can find directly on the Department of Public Service's website and kind of detail like what exactly is going on. And basically, this triggers a procedural mechanism where the company will reach out to you and you have to try and they will try and work out whatever issue that you're having. And if you and the company can't come to a resolution, then it'll trigger an investigation with the actual Department of Public Service, who will then look into it on your behalf and try to get a good resolution for you.
Well, not for nothing. I mean, I did exactly that. I never heard back at all from Central Hudson. And, you know, I'm just wondering, I mean, and maybe, you know, I think there might be this popular notion that public service commissions and some regulatory bodies are staffed by former, you know, or, you know, it's a revolving door with the industries they regulate. And how much are they really behind the consumer? What is your perspective on that?
I mean, the Department of Public Service has a consumer arm. It's called the Consumer Services arm, I believe. And actually, the current consumer advocate, Richard Berkeley, he's a fellow Pulp alumni. He was Pulp's executive director for almost a decade. So we know that there's good people at the top of the organization. And I can say anecdotally, like I live in Kingston, I'm a lifelong resident, and my mom has the Central Hudson account, and she was having some pretty considerable issues with it. And ultimately, we didn't hear back initially from the department or from the company for a long time. But eventually, they did get in contact with us, and we were able to work out her resolution. So if you haven't heard anything, what we'd suggest is filing an update on your initial complaint. Whenever you file a complaint with the Department of Public Service, you should receive, it's called a case number, and that allows you to kind of go back into their system. You can file an update, or you can cancel the complaint. Go in there and do that, because otherwise, unfortunately, what can sometimes happen is, like, at the department, if there is no action, unfortunately, they'll just close the case. And that's something that actually happened to my mom. So I had to go in and reopen it on her behalf. And so it's unfortunate that that kind of happens. It's something that Pulp is kind of pushing to try and do away with that process, because without any sort of resolution, then people, like, we all know what's happening with energy bills. Like, stuff can pile up and get higher and higher, and that's just not good for anybody. But definitely file an update to your complaint if you haven't heard anything back from Central Hudson or the Department of Public Service.
And how many customers, Central Hudson customers approximately, are there in the service area that have experienced problems that have led to them being really seriously behind on their bills heading into the winter months?
Yeah, absolutely. So all of the regulated investor-owned utilities have to report the numbers of accounts that are behind on their bills, and how much exactly in debt all of those customers are. And right now, as of October, which is the most October 15th, the most current data available to us, because there's about a month lag, there were 58,000 Central Hudson customers that were behind on their bills by 60 days or more, and they owe collectively about $65 million. And I do want to specify that's not just in Ulster County, that's throughout Central Hudson's entire service territory. Unfortunately, we can't get any more granular, but still, those figures are scary, and that's something, it gets even worse as we look at the statewide level.
I'm sure that I want to know, and I'm sure our listeners want to know, if you are one of those folks or know someone who is in that situation, what some of the options are, what are some of the alternatives and remedies. But first, we're going to take a very short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and we'll be back after these short words.
Heart attacks won't wait. If you ever have symptoms of a heart attack, you need to get to the nearest emergency department, preferably one with the technology and expertise to stop a heart attack in its tracks. Health Alliance Hospital, right here on Broadway in Kingston, has expanded cardiac services, including catheterization and electrophysiology. Now, for many people, Health Alliance in Kingston is the closest option to find treatment of clogged arteries, irregular heartbeats, and to limit damage from a heart attack already in process. For the first time, we have these advanced heart health services based right here in Ulster County. This expansion is part of a larger plan to bring advanced cardiac services to Ulster County and the surrounding communities. If you have heart attack symptoms, do not wait. Call 911 and get to the closest emergency department. At Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston, we are ready to see you now. That's Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston. WMC Health. Advancing care here.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Welcome back. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Before the break, we were talking about the number of Central Hudson customers that may be behind in payment of their utility bills. Can you talk more about what program is available to assist these customers and who qualifies?
Sure. I'm happy to, Dr. Smith. Thank you so much for asking the question. So there's a couple different things that are out there. First and foremost, every utility in the state, including Central Hudson, has what's called a monthly low-income bill discount program. And basically, the State Department of Public Service back in 2016, they issued a report and an order that said no low-income customer should have an energy burden, which is basically how much a household pays for energy, of more than 6%. And the monthly bill discount program that Central Hudson and offers is a mechanism to help folks get to that goal. A lot of people get automatically enrolled, and it's a great action item folks can actually look on their Central Hudson bill and see if they're enrolled in the benefit. Now, what's key here is that if you are enrolled in this monthly bill discount program, this makes you categorically eligible for the state debt relief program. Now, the state legislature back in the budget, so April 2022, they allocated about $250 million, and then a public work group, including utilities, Pulp, CLP, a bunch of other folks, worked together to collaborate and create a $550 million program that essentially looks back in time from May 1st, 2022, all the way back and says, okay, if you are behind on your bills, it doesn't matter the amount, that balance will get wiped away. And again, being enrolled in this monthly low-income bill discount program through Central Hudson is your gateway into that. So it's really important that you check your bill, see if you are enrolled. And if you're not enrolled, you can always apply. Central Hudson has their application on the website. And there's a bunch of different ways that you can qualify. And I'll kick it over to Jess, who can talk about that a little bit more.
Sure. Thanks, Ian. So folks who qualify potentially for this forgiveness program where your bills are eliminated, they might have, HEAP enrollment, which is the Home Energy Assistance Program. They might have Lifeline, which is the Lifeline Telephone Service Program. If you have SNAP, which is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or Medicaid, or the Veterans Disability or Survivors Pension, SSI, the Supplemental Security Income, and a variety of other programs. If you're already enrolled in one of these, then you can be enrolled into the debt elimination program. And then additionally, if you're not, you can find out through one of our workshops or online if you can be enrolled in one of those programs, or if you can be enrolled in, in the debt forgiveness program. And, everyone knows a household with elderly folks or disabled folks or veterans or folks who might qualify for one of the programs I mentioned. So really, please tell everybody you know about this, upcoming program, because the deadline is December 31st. It's right around the corner. So please tell everyone you know about this.
Mm-hmm. And Jess, so to be clear, this is for low income groups. So is there any relief or any kinds of supplementary programs for middle income working families and what have you?
So right now this is phase one. Also, I should add too that for undocumented folks, there is a potential for them to also be enrolled in this debt forgiveness program, and that would require someone like a child or a family member who lives in their household who's on one of those assistance programs like HEAP or SNAP, for them to have a benefit letter to be able to help this the undocumented person who the bill is in their name, for them to enroll. So that's one thing I just wanted to add to. And then as far as for middle or moderate income, we're coming on to phase two of the utility relief. And it's kind of being debated right now of who's going to cover it. But there is stuff slated. There is bill relief slated for middle income households. And I'll pass it over to Ian to give you more information about that and where we're at, because we're coming on to some important decisions on that, actually.
Yeah, and just to be clear, we can't talk too much about it because the discussions are confidential between the parties to the working group. But what I can say is that the working group has been working really, really hard on a report, and basically that report outlines the what the actual successor program will look like. And that's going to be issued to the commission within the next week or so. So we're happy to follow up. We'll send it over to Vince and Dr. Smith, and they can maybe put it on the website where people can look at it. And ultimately the commission will take a look at that and vote whether or not to actually create an order, and that would create the program. So it's coming down the pike really fast. Can't really say too much about it just because the report is not officially out yet.
So Jess, we've talked about utility bills and utility bill debt and what have you. But from the perspective of the average homeowner or even renter out there that desires to really be energy efficient, to not waste energy, to really support climate change initiatives, renewable clean energy, what's out there in the world for folks to, in practical terms, for folks to explore? What options are there out there?
I mean, the options are endless, really. We have some workshops coming up. We have one happening tomorrow, or I'm not sure when this is going to air. So we have one happening in Kingston on Thursday, December 1st at the YMCA from 6 to 8 p.m. We're having another in Newburgh on Thursday, December 8th from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Newburgh Free Library. And then on Friday, December 8th, we're doing one online from 12 to 1 p.m. And that's along with Public Utility Law Project. DSS will be their Department of Social Services, the Public Service Commission, and also Cornell Cooperative Extension. And they'll have a bunch of information on ways that people can, kind of be more energy efficient, save money in the process, save electricity, potentially transition to solar or heat pumps and things like that. So those different events are available on our website, www.communitiesforlocalpower.org. And we'll also have people on hand to help people enroll or figure out if they are eligible to enroll in this electric and gas bill forgiveness program. And remember, the deadline for that's December 31st. So we really want to pump it out as much as we can.
Great. And we'll put it on our websites and social media. So if you're a homeowner, average Ulster County homeowner out there, and you say, okay, I really want to make my home as efficient as possible. I really want to thinking about all of the options for renewables versus what I can afford and what makes financial sense for my family. Your workshops are obviously one avenue, but what's step one? What is the first thing that you do in that situation? Where do you go first?
You'd probably want to get an energy audit, which is when a professionally trained person who knows all about building science can come into your home and use all different sorts of tools and methods to see where you're losing energy, what appliances are, sucking your energy, where the drafts are coming in, things like that. And then they give you a full report on different ways that you can yourself improve your home's sort of, building envelope, which is how tight your home is, and you want your building envelope to be tight. And then they also can give you recommendations for ways that you can, look for contractors to do that sort of stuff, bigger jobs, insulation jobs, potentially heat pumps, that sort of thing. And so those audits are often free for most people through NYSERDA, which is a state agency. And in our area in Ulster County, Cornell Cooperative Extension is a great source for all of the different programs that the state has for energy efficiency. So you start out with an energy audit, and then from there, based on your income, you can potentially get a free, we'll say thousands of dollars insulation job done, or thousands of dollars towards a more efficient boiler or towards a heat pump and things like that. So there's a handful of different programs already that have been going on for years that Cornell Cooperative Extension has been facilitating. And then there's going to be a whole bunch more because of the different federal funds that will be coming in over the next couple of years.
Really terrific. So before we run out of time, Jess and Ian both, tell our listeners where they can go to get more information about what we've talked about today, the utility debt relief, renewable energy options, and what have you, if they didn't write everything down, where can they go to get more details and also get involved on a personal level if they want to?
For Communities for Local Power, for the workshop information and other things, you can go to communities4localpower.org.
And Ian?
Yeah, and for Pulp, we're in the middle of redoing our website. So honestly, checking our social media, our Facebook specifically, is probably the best spot to stay up to date. And I do want to plug our hotline. If you're a low-income consumer and you're having a problem with your utility, you can always call Pulp. Our hotline number is 877-669-2572. And we can do our best to help you.
Well, thank you so much, Ian and Jess, for all of the great work that you and your colleagues do. That's all the time we have for today. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.